Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener-supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, right here on Revolution Radio, this 19th day of February, 2024. Some fairly awesome stories for you today. Scott Ritter reports that the Russian army is preparing for war in the Middle East and warning Iran that the United States is about to attack Iran. So, there's a lot going on here. Truth Seeker has it, pulling it up at the moment for you to hear. I expect to be joined by Keith Rogers today. Here we have Scott Ritter.
Today is Tuesday, January 30th, 2024. Scott Ritter joins us now. Scott, it's always a pleasure, my dear friend. Welcome back. Thank you for coming back on the show, as always. What is the current status of affairs militarily between Russia and Ukraine as Republicans continue to negotiate with each other and with Joe Biden to send another $61 billion in cash and military hardware there?
Well, I mean, let's put American politics aside. Let's just assume for a second that this money was released. There's no ammunition to buy. The NATO has admitted that they have failed in the ammunition war with Russia, that, you know, their goal was to, you know, produce a million rounds of ammunition a year, and they aren't anywhere near close to that. They're 200,000 rounds, and they can't produce any more. And there's no ammunition to buy. So it's like having all the money. If you save up all your money to buy a Rolls Royce, but there's no Rolls Royce dealers anymore, it's not there. So this is the reality. There's no tanks left to give them. They're doing pathetic things like going to Greece and getting Greece to send to Ukraine their old retired, mothballed Russian military equipment. The Russians will receive it. It won't work. You can't maintain it. It's not ready for operation. It'll go to the field and it'll be destroyed. There's nothing that NATO can do to change what's happening to the Ukrainian military on the ground, which is they are suffering strategic defeat at the hands of the Russians. We are seeing the Russians have taken over the strategic initiative, the operational initiative, and the tactical initiative. Russia is advancing across the lines. These aren't dramatic big arrow advances. These are small, going 500 meters this day, 2 kilometers here, 3 kilometers. But the Ukrainians are being pushed back. And they're being forced to, you know, because standardly, if you're attacked and you're pushed out of your position, the first thing is to counterattack. The counterattack requires the deployment of reserves. They don't have any reserves left to deploy. Nobody trained, no equipment. And so they're being stretched thin. And eventually you're going to stretch them so thin, they're going to break all across the front and the Russians are moving forward. So this is the reality right now. We're looking at the you know, the lack of, you know, on the part of the Ukrainian forces. The Russians are only getting stronger. The Ukrainians are only getting weaker.
I don't want to.
Here's a further report, also from the Truth Seeker, that Putin is done negotiating. He's fed up with the West. He's been subjected to nothing but lies, deceit, deception, including, of course, the Minsk Agreement, which even Angela Merkel, for Germany and France, were among those who agreed to peace terms, but that it was only to protect Ukraine, to give it enough time to be beefed up by NATO. Here's more from Scott again.
There was a report from Reuters from numerous so-called Russian sources that informed Reuters that Vladimir Putin indeed has been using various channels over the course of the last year to initiate some kind of diplomatic resolution to engage with the United States, supposedly around some kind of settlement to this conflict. Now, this comes at a very curious time after Vladimir Putin was on Tucker Carlson's program. He was interviewed in Moscow, where he, to the viewership of over 100 plus million people, he said to Tucker Carlson that indeed it's the United States that has all of the opportunities to end the conflict, and that he has not spoken personally to Joe Biden throughout the course of this conflict, and that while channels are open, he didn't make any indication of such a proposal. So, Scott, what do you make of these reports, and what can you tell us about these reports given this context of the Putin-Tucker Carlson interview?
Well, I mean, you know, first of all, we have to be leery of anything we read in the media nowadays. Understand that there is a concerted effort underway in the West, in the United States and Europe, to try and belittle the Tucker Carlson, Vladimir Putin interview, to demean the Russian president in an effort to show him as being less than straightforward, forthright, et cetera. So, you know, after an interview where he pretty much made it clear that there's only one channel open right now, and that's the intelligence channel. And, you know, they're talking about, you know, prisoner swaps, but little else, to suddenly have the media come out and say, no, Vladimir Putin is making efforts. First of all, what does that mean? Vladimir Putin is making efforts. That means that the side that's winning the war, the side that's winning the war, is the side looking for an off-ramp. It just makes no sense. Vladimir Putin and his top diplomats have said for some time now that they're open to negotiated settlement, but the negotiations have to be realistic. There isn't a realistic position in the West. Ukraine's position is absurd. I mean, return to the 1991 borders. I mean, you and whose army? Because it's not the Ukrainian army. That's being destroyed. NATO isn't going to intervene. They don't have anything to intervene with. You know, the fact is the West is the one that is desperate for a negotiated solution, but they can't come up with a formula because Ukraine won't let them come up with a formula. It's difficult, almost impossible for the West to consider a negotiation with Russia without Ukraine being on board, because otherwise, what are you negotiating? So I don't put any faith in these reports. They make no sense logically. And the one thing you know, anybody who's been following Russia for some period of time knows that the Russians are inherently logical. They don't behave in an illogical fashion, and they are protective of their president, meaning that they aren't going to be doing things that undermine the legitimacy and credibility of Vladimir Putin. When he speaks, his words carry weight, and it's impossible to consider that the president would go on an interview that everybody knew was going to be, you know, it was going to break the internet. Everybody knew it was going to be one of the most widely watched events in modern media history. To go on there and commit to something that would be debunked, days afterwards? No. This is, I believe, wishful thinking on the part of people in the West who either are desperate for an off-ramp because they recognize what's happening in the Ukrainian military. It's collapsing as we speak. I mean, it's falling apart. They are literally out of ammunition. They're out of men. They're out of options. And so, what they're trying to do is project a desired outcome, but Russia's not playing ball right now. Will Russia seek a negotiator? So all wars end in negotiation, one way or another. World War II ended when the Japanese negotiated their unconditional surrender on board the USS Missouri in Tokyo Bay in September of 1945. I believe that this conflict will end when Ukraine negotiates its unconditional surrender, maybe in Kiev, maybe in Lvov, maybe somewhere else. But the idea that Russia's reaching out looking for a negotiated settlement is just patently absurd.
Keith, I think that Scott Ritter has made so many great points. I played a clip before the Putin interview where Scott was explaining that Ukraine has run out of troops, it's run out of tanks, it's run out of munitions, and even if they had the money, there are no munitions to buy. And then this, which you just heard after the Putin speech, where the Western media is trying to portray as though Russia were in some desperate straits and looking for resolution to a war it's losing, when the situation is precisely the opposite. I think that the mainstream may have run out of gas to light us, meaning its gaslighting operation is falling short. I think Tucker's interview was a breakthrough event and enabled the world to see Vladimir Putin up close and personal, discovered he's a man of vast intellect, deep knowledge, a totally reasonable guy who explained the circumstances under which Russia was forced to intervene in Ukraine, that Ukraine is an artificial state, that it includes portions taken from Romania, from Hungary, from Poland, and reading between the lines that if Russia is forced to take all of Ukraine, he may return those portions to Romania, Hungary, and Poland, keep the rest of Russia, including, of course, the Donbass and Crimea, which it will never surrender, and be done with it. So that, the efforts now in the United States to send more money to Russia, to Ukraine, to support a defeat, it seems to me, frankly, absurd. And I'm wondering whether it isn't kickback, that a lot of that money being sent to Ukraine is going right into the coffers of the DNC, and that's why the kind of duplicity is being played by the Congress on the American people, in this case in particular the Senate, because it's very clear the House is not going to support further funding for Ukraine. Your thoughts, Keith?
Well, I think there's two things that are nefarious here, Jim. One, we can start with the leaked report that Israel acknowledges that the Jews were in fact Khazars with a secret reverse plan of immigration to Ukraine. And of course, who's paying for that but the Americans as well as the West? And right now, how many in your show yesterday with Scott Bennett and Brian, those guys, you were highlighting the amount of arms being sent to Israel. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so then we have the top rabbi who says that America's collapsing. Israel must step up as a new world superpower. One of Israel's most respected rabbis, Rabbi Shmuel Elihu, I guess it is, has released a statement on the status of America as a waning world superpower and a message of hope for Israel to fill the void. So the United States, with all your treasonous politicians that continue to do the beck and call of Israel, is sending all of America's arms over to Israel right now, which probably will be transferred over to Ukraine. I don't think people realize what's going on here, as well as Victoria Nuland with her so-called Putin surprise. And now we have the Munich Council over there, or Council, what do you want to call it, meeting, where Anthony Blinken who doesn't go as an American State Department representative. He goes as a Jew over to the Munich meeting there to listen to the Ukrainians demanding nuclear power again. Remember, that was one of the things about Ukraine, that they had to get rid of their nukes. And if you haven't reviewed the movie plotline of The Sum of All Fears, this is where a bunch of eccentric Nazis over from the Ukraine used an Israeli nuke to get America and Russia into a nuclear war. And we already know what Bibi has said about his thoughts about what America was. So I think you might understand what's really going on here. America is being depleted, the West is being depleted, and Israel will wind up being the superpower. It does not abide by any of the International Court of Justice's resolutions or any of stuff like that. It's a totally rogue state. And the politicians globally are supporting this.
Keith, how is it even in one's wildest imagination feasible to envision Israel as a world superpower? To me, that just boggles the mind. That sounds like a fantasy driven by centuries of inbreeding that have led a certain group to think it's superior to all others. But this is so exaggerated, frankly. Apart from the United States, no country in the world is held in greater contempt. No nation is more despised than Israel. How could it have these pretensions to become a superpower to fill in the void left by an admittedly morally and politically bankrupt United States?
Well, I think we're back to, you know, there's a video from Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, who I interviewed many years ago, where he talked about America exists to make war. And that was done, I believe it was on Democracy Now. But anyway, the point was, is towards the latter part of the interview, Mr. Wilkerson had repeatedly said that there are a few, which wasn't a few, but it's those evangelical Christians that believe that Israel is the so-called chosen ones of God, and that in rebuilding their third temple, that they will allow Israel to do anything. And sadly, it's like listening to Colonel Douglas McGregor. I like the guy and everything like that, but if you look up his wiki bio and stuff like that, he was there side by side with Wesley Clark, with the seven countries in 5 years. He was all in support of Israel. He continues to be in support of Israel. Thinks that Israel has a right to exist, which is fine, like that, you know. I have no problem with Jews and stuff like that, you know. But the point is, those, they are putting this forward. And so, like in your show yesterday, when you talk about immigration and stuff, well, all you got to do is look at Bibi at the United Nations. They're holding up the map of the greater Israel. Well, look at what countries that encompasses, Egypt, all that, Iraq, Syria. You're talking of tens of millions of more immigrants that are going to have to go somewhere. And the U.S. is facilitating its own destruction by running these or waging these war campaigns of seven countries, you know, to move out the Arab Muslim population so that Israel can have its Mecca over there. And I think that's where we're headed.
Well, Keith, that wouldn't be too hard on Colonel McGregor, especially over a wiki entry, because I myself have found Wikipedia's a Zionist op. When I conducted, organized a conference back in 2014 on academic freedom, are there limits to inquiry, using JFK, 9/11, and the Holocaust as examples? And it entered for Wikipedia, gutted my entry. It had been very thorough, very detailed about my research on JFK, 9/11, Wellstone, Sandy Hook. It was very comprehensive. He gutted it. And what's emerged, you know, developed in the meanwhile is an atrophied version. But they deliberately included a sentence right in the opening paragraph to totally distort my views about 9/11, saying I think Flight 993 didn't even exist, which is absurd. 93 not only existed, it did not crash in Shanksville, but it was still in the air 4 years later. I obtained FAA registration records, discovered the plane used for Flight 93 and, surprisingly, Flight 175, where 93 was over Champaign-Urbana after it allegedly crashed in Shanksville. 175 was over Harrisburg and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, after it officially hit the South Tower. Both of those aircraft, the physical aircraft used for those flights, were not taken out of service or deregistered until 28 September 2005. We discovered flights 11 North Tower and 77 Pentagon were not even in the air. Edward Henry was brilliant capturing the records of the Bureau of Transportation Statistics, which keeps detailed information on every commercial flight in the United States, time it's scheduled, time it actually departs a gate, time it has wheels up, time it has wheels down. Flights 11 and 77 weren't even in the air on 9/11. So how can planes that were not even in the air have crashed on 9/11? And how can planes that crashed on 9/11 have still been in the air 4 years later? Wikipedia, to not share accurate information. And believe me, I tried five times to correct this sentence to make it something that was accurate about my just what I've said now, namely that, you know, Fetzer believes that two of the flights, 11 and 77, were not even in the air that day, and that the other two, 93 and 175, were still in the air after they'd allegedly crashed and were not even deregistered until 28 September 2005. If they had that sentence in there, it would make sense. So you got to beware of smears. Now, it may be Colonel McGregor was there with Wesley Clark announcing, you know, Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld decision that we're going to take out the governments of seven countries in the next 5 years. But I got to admit, I'm a skeptic. I've listened to hours and hours of McGregor, and I find no one more competent in addressing these issues in both Ukraine and in Israel than McGregor. I like Scott Ritter a lot. But in my judgment, McGregor is even better. He's nobody's fool. I think he'd be a wonderful Secretary of Defense. So I'm not asking you to qualify your opinion. I'm simply saying I would add these caveats. And Ukraine is lost. There's no way it can be preserved. NATO, I think Scott Ritter is correct. NATO can't come to the aid of Ukraine. Are they going to give Ukraine nukes? I guess that is the question. And if they were to give Ukraine nukes, I mean, World War III is upon us without any doubt. Would you not agree?
Oh, yeah. Well, Larry Johnson there, and like I've said, my heroes have always been former CIA that have come forth to tell the American people of the dirty wars, the dirty deeds they've done. And through their remission of guilt and stuff like that, have finally decided they could no longer be with the, well, let's just call it the Enterprise. And they opted out. And who are your biggest spokesmen out there is a lot of these former CIA that are basically telling a story. It's not a yarn, but they're telling a story there of how they participated in whatever. My buddy and I was talking about the $20 million some odd dollars in counterfeit money that a lot of these so-called terrorists were paid with in a lot of these areas to go out and do bombings and stuff. And of course, when they started to spend the money and stuff, it was found out that it was all phony. And of course, they were busted for that. Well, this is a typical CIA type plot where they use someone to do the dirty deeds and then pay them with fake money. And of course, it's no loss for them. This morning I watched a video from the FSB over there in Russia where it showed this guy that was walking by this car and allegedly fell. using a cane, of course, hobbling along. And, of course, he planted a bomb underneath the car. Of course, the FSB later went to arrest him and everything like that. And he fought and was killed. But the dirty deeds that are done that Americans don't understand, and this is why I get kind of, I don't get upset, it's just that I don't think people realize the full picture of what's going on, just like what we see right now in this country. They're flooding the country with immigrants. And I watched a video of the Chinese that were being interviewed where it says, well, we only came because of the money that was offered. They didn't say jobs. They said the money. And then we see everyone from the border that's coming up like that. They're being offered these EBT visa-type cards to $1,000. They're reloadable. They're given phones, all this stuff like that, whereas Americans aren't getting nothing. Then at the same time, your government is telling you all about the new terrorism alerts that so many people are entering. Well, of course they're entering the country. The government's got the border wide open. But these fear things are what they use to build the American psyche. Then at the same time, while they're arming Al-Qaeda, arming ISIS, arming Nazis and stuff like that, they're disarming Americans. What could possibly go wrong?
Yes. Okay, you got it so right, so exactly right. And their methods are simply absurd. I mean, it turns out there's an inverse relationship between gun ownership and homicide rates. The more guns owned by a population, the lower the homicide rate. Where Americans use guns to defend themselves from perps, from assailants, millions of times every year, saving an estimated 200,000 lives per annum. Keith, I mean, the murder rate, death from guns, is only around 80,000 a year. So we're saving 200,000 victims from potentially being murdered themselves. 200,000 lives versus 80,000, over half of whom are from suicides. We're about to hit the break, Keith, and I want to come back and talk about what's going on in New York, too, and some of the other absurdities of our day. But squeeze in. Here we go. We'll be right back with Keith Roberts after this break. Rogers. We'll be right back.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, most of the audience, Keith, is familiar with the E. Jean Carroll fantasy trial where she fabricated a story. I mean, there's no other way to put it, that she'd been raped by Donald Trump. The woman has an obsession with sex. She's claimed five or six other figures, including the CEO of CBS, had raped her in the past as a lunatic. She can't remember the year in which it occurred. It's supposed to have taken place in a dressing room at Bergdorf Goodman, one of the swankiest department stores in New York City, where they have high security. If she'd merely called help, there would have been security there immediately. It's a total fantasy. And because she couldn't even specify the year, much less the month or the week or the day or the hour that it took place, how could Trump possibly defend himself with an alibi, explaining that he was in the Bahamas or at Mar-a-Lago or in Atlantic City, if he doesn't even know when this is supposed to have occurred? It should never have gone to trial because it was impossible for him to defend himself. But the New York State Legislature actually created an exemption to allow her to file because she was so concerned about this matter that the statute of limitations had actually expired, and she won a whopping, what, $83 million for an alleged defamation by Trump having denied he even knew the woman, and by implication that the rape story was a fantasy. I mean, can you believe she sued on that ground and it was found in her favor in a New York court? Well, we now on Friday had a sequel, a successor, where a New York judge by the name of Arthur Ergeron, and this is a very strange gnome-looking guy, imposed a $364 million penalty against Trump, ruling that for several years he inflated his wealth in dealing with banks and other businesses, especially by inflating the value of Mar-a-Lago. He was barred from serving as a director or officer in any corporation in the state for 3 years, $364 million, and he also fined his sons Eric and Donald Jr., imposing millions in fines against him as well. Now, let me just say, this was a victimless crime. In terms of standard business practices, Trump submitted to banks to secure loans his assessment of properties. It's well known that those figures are frequently inflated. The banks have their own assessors. They go out, make their own evaluation. They decided Trump's assets were more than sufficient to cover the loans. They made the loans. Trump paid the interest. The banks are fat and happy. They're totally satisfied with their business dealings with Trump. This was a totally political scheme. In fact, here we have Representative Anthony Desposito telling Newsmax Saturday, "There has never been a more blatant act of political persecution in the United States than the civil fraud prosecution against former President Donald Trump in New York City and the multi-million-dollar fine leveled against him. It's going to be a wake-up call for those who do business or try to do business in New York," the New York Republican told Newsmax. "He noted how New York City leads the nation in immigration, in people moving south because they can't afford to live in the city and they're fed up with the quality of life. Now we're going to have businesses and people doing business in New York. They're going to begin leaving because they could face the same consequences as Donald Trump." In other words, he was actually doing business as usual. There was no victim. And yet, here we have the governor of New York assuring New York businesses that they have nothing to worry about. Honcho was asked by host John Cassavetes on the Cats Roundtable whether other New York business people should be worried that if they can do that to the former president, they can't do that to anybody, she claimed. I think this is really an extraordinary, unusual circumstance that the law-abiding and rule-following New Yorkers who are business people have nothing to worry about because they're very different than Donald Trump and his behavior. Yes, they're not running for president of the United States. They don't have a humongous following. They don't threaten the establishment. Here's this nitwit who is the governor of New York really basically acknowledging Trump was a special case, that he was targeted for this treatment because he's a political threat to the establishment. Your thoughts?
Well, first of all, the first part of your statement there was, let's just go back to the 90s with Phil Donahue, Sally Jesse Raphael, Morton Downey Jr., all the Americans glued to their TV tubes watching some sexual exploits of Americans being, I mean, seriously, if you had a deviant lifestyle and stuff like that, why would you get up there and beam your lifestyle to 200 some odd million Americans at that time, showing what a depraved soul you were to sit there and have sex? But, you know, Americans are out there because they can sit there and say, well, at least I'm not that bad, you know. But they gloat on this stuff as far as what other people are doing. It's like, I think they're jealous that other people are getting laid and they're not. And so with Donald Trump, even if he did or didn't, the point is, though, is it was an expensive piece of you-know-what in the interim there, you know. But, again, it's just political targeting, which is all election interference. And, of course, you know, as I said, I don't vote, so I don't worry about it myself. But it is. It's election interference. All this is election interference. And then when it comes to Mar-a-Lago, I didn't notice anything where they were talking about the insurance amount of Mar-a-Lago, because I have tried to recently get insurance, and I've had my credit destroyed over that. Where they would say there was these soft hits on your credit score, you know. The hell it was soft hits. But anyway, the point is, though, is the insurance value would be, the way they write policies nowadays, is what the property cost, the replacement cost, then any personal artifacts that would be around, you know, safes full of whatever like that, you know. But it would be what the insurance amount would have been for it. So if there was an insurance policy written for the Mar-a-Lago, it would have reflected the real amount of the property. But no one brought that up.
Oh, that's a very nice point. Well, I think all these points were made. I mean, the judge was taking a very minimal number for Mar-a-Lago. As I recall, it was around $80 million, and everyone in the world said, oh, no, it's worth around $250-350 million. And this is the gap he exploited during the trial. I mean, it was just outrageous, totally political. And I think it's correct that other businesses in New York are going to get the hell out of town because they see what the hell can happen. I don't think the governor's reassurance is going to count for much, especially when you have such a rabidly political state legislature as to allow a lunatic to, you know, get an exemption to a statute of limitation for a fantasy trial over a purported rape, which is just absurd on its face. I mean, you just take her account at face value. It's an absurd account. She cannot justify any of it. And yet she's gone on television. She's been interviewed. She's talking about how she's going to spend her $83 million. Frankly, all these cases are going to be reversed. They were all brought when they were brought in timing to affect the run-up to the election this year. That was their whole purpose, as Trump's asserting, election interference. Now, this particular decision may have consequences because, Keith, I'm sure you're aware, truckers are warning that loads to New York City are going to be rejected beginning Monday. Truckers plan to stop shipments to New York City in response to the political hack, Judge Argonne's 360 $5 million ruling against Trump and his sons. I mean, it's beyond belief. I mean, did the Democrats really think that this is going to benefit them in the United States? Or are they just all in to destroy it? And they're going to ensure keeping control if they can by taking out Trump. But it's failing. It's failing in every possible way. Keith.
Well, the other one is there was a video that was posted, I think it was on BitChute or could have been Odyssey, where it was a study, we'll just call it a study, of the adjacent properties next to Mar-a-Lago. And this is by real estate figures, of course, like that, where you could sit there and scroll down and gave you the property value of the adjacent properties. So that all seemed to be in with line with what you said the banks accepted. And issued mortgages on or whatever and were paid off, you know. So again, it's a no-brainer there. But one thing I noticed here recently, though, is, and I've emailed Trump about this too. Anyone can do that on Office 24 Trump. You can send him a message like that. Some of the things I say, I think, he's catching on to, but, generally, most of his so-called political enemies are the ones he supported in the past, and this is what's weird. And I'll give you a reference here. Recently, Zelensky had wanted Trump to come to Ukraine to tell him exactly how they're going to end the Ukraine war in 24 hours. And I thought, boy, is that a political setup, because just like taking out a plane of POWs and stuff like that, I could just see the Democrats hoping as all hell, hint, hint, that the Trump plane would be shot down over Ukraine and blame Putin for it. Do you see what I'm getting at?
Sure.
But, you know, they want Trump out of there. I realize Trump's probably got some good points for America here, but unfortunately, as I've said, his political friends are his worst enemy. And that's the problem here, just like his unwavering support for Israel. It's sad that that most people, they can't catch on to what's going on. Like, just say with the media and this, what's his name? The guy that just died in prison, how do you pronounce his name, Navalny or something like that?
Yeah, Navalny, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So did Blinken and his cry for the justification of bringing Putin to justice for this, what about Abu Ghraib, Gitmo? What about all the prisons in El Salvador? What about American prisons? What about alleged Epstein? You know, all these people that die in prisons. Why is it just this one CIA asset that they were worried about over in Russia's prison? You know, these are all used to demonize, just like all this immigration and stuff. Constant demonization, hate, all this stuff, you know. Matter of fact, Jim, I'll tell you a story here. I got to laughing here, and this is important, too. I grew up in Las Vegas. My dad was a big casino manager. He was Steve Wynn, all these guys like that, you know. And I knew a lot of actors and like that, you know, and actresses. And used to sit and have breakfast with Phyllis Diller and all. I mean, I had a blast. Dean Martin, all these guys like that, you know. So anyway, I was at an MGM once watching Don Rickles. And Don Rickles was talking to the audience, as always, like that, you know, and it didn't matter whether he was Jewish or any of that stuff like that. But he said to one of the audience members who was Asian, he says, "Would you like a closer seat?" He says, "It looks like you keep squinting." And the audience just busted out laughing. They knew what it meant, you know, the slopes, slant eyes, stuff like that.
Sure.
You know? Anyway, so I have a pet project here. I won't mention his name there, but I love the kid like that. His mother got force jabbed before a surgery. She got blood clots, died a week later. His father's a typical Ira Hayes, a drunken Indian, you know. He's tribal. But I love the kid like that. I'm hoping he gets a gain on life. Anyway, we were sitting there on Telegram, and I had sent him the video Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
And I says, to my friend, I says, "This is how we grew up with humor, and this is what yeah. they're taking away with all this inclusivity. I mean, they're trying to take our humor away. So he was watching that part where it was, "Good morning, chef," and it was, "Up your ass, nigger," you know.
Yeah.
But everyone used to laugh like that, and they're taking that humor away.
Yeah.
And I was watching him on Telegram. He was doing a live feed like that, you know, playing his video game, thing like that. But anyway, so anyway, the point is, though, is it was so fun to see him laugh after all this loss because, you know, the state took put him in custody and all this stuff, you know. But anyway, it's been hell for the boy. But anyway, it's so fun to see a kid laugh. And recently he got caught at school defacing these enlistment photos or stuff like that, you know. But, he's wake. I'll call him one of the woke like that. But it's so fun just to see people laugh at humor and stuff. But all that's been taken away from us today, and they want us constantly backbiting each other and stuff like that. And I don't see how people can't see through this. It's like a mirage out in the desert. Growing up in Vegas like that, you see that little sheen above you on the highway like that, you know, and you think it's water, you know. But people just can't see what they're being led down to because they need the hate to formulate all these wars, whether it's the Iranians, the Russians, the Muslims, you know, China. They need this to keep the military-industrial complex going. And, of course, they need a wealth of your children that are willing to go out and fight for these wars, which benefit U.S. corporations, just like the U.S. is willing to bomb the Taiwan IC chip makers so that China doesn't get them. Of course, these same chips are going to be the ones that enslave us in the future. Or they're going to take out the Nord Stream pipeline to destroy Germany and Russia's relations and their economy, and then bring all those German businesses back here, just as much as they use the World Bank as the military arm of the U.S. government to destroy these countries down in Central Latin America, all this stuff like that. So that they have no way of challenging the empire here. And then, of course, since their economies are destroyed, those people seek better living conditions. And Scott had made a comment there, Scott Bennett. And, you know, these aren't just evil people. If you look up like Venezuela, 88% of them are Catholics. You start looking at demographics and you start looking at the demographic shift that's being done around the world. Like that video, "Don't Tell My Mother I'm in Iran." And that young kid goes around, he talks to the rabbi, and you know, we've talked about this before, to where the rabbi says, "Yeah, we were offered $50,000 to move to Israel." No different than when the Israelis were bombing the Jews over in Iraq to force them to move to Israel. But they need this fear to keep these policies going, and of course keep the victimhood going too, so that Americans are always, "Oh, those poor Israeli Jews," and stuff like that, you know. Forget about the carnage, you know, just like over in Ukraine. What's sadder than hell, Jim, is when you look at these videos being posted of, say, an Israeli IOF occupational forces being sniped by Hamas or something like that. You see all the plus things, hearts, some prayers, but generally it's 100% likes. People just love death. No different than the Ukraine soldiers watching them getting droned to death, a drone hitting a Ukraine soldier in the back, and all the emos, what do you call those damn things on the damn thing? They're all in favor of someone dying like that. They don't look at the politicians behind this that are causing this, that we the people have no input in, just like in Germany, when they says that we don't care what the German people want. We're just going to do what we want.
Well, bear in mind, too, though, okay, that there are bots galore. They got,
oh yeah,
you know, that are going to put up images or thumbs up reinforcing views they want to promote, regardless of their objective merit. So, you know, it's not that everyone's an idiot. There's an awful lot of phony, you know, approval, disapproval taking place on the internet all the time now. I mean, it's outrageous. Indeed, it seems to me Congress ought to act to make it illegal to, you know, have fabricated reports like that. Or alternatively, just make it illegal to censor. Let every flower bloom. Let every position. It was like that for a golden era. I don't know, around 80 to 95, somewhere in there, when actually you could find anything on the internet. It was really wonderful. If I wanted to know whether there'd been a body double who was hanged in Iraq after a phony trial because Saddam was already dead, I could find on the right and left all the evidence I needed to prove that was in fact the case. But nowadays, you can search in vain to find the fact that Saddam actually was killed on the 7th of April of 2003, just 3 weeks into the invasion, by a B-1 bomber strike on a restaurant in the outskirts of Baghdad. Yeah.
Do you remember his wife that said that's not my husband?
That's right, the body double.
Yeah.
And there was Joe Viles, who was an Australian photojournalist, noticed the difference that the teeth, Saddam had excellent teeth with an overbite. The body double had bad teeth and an underbite. They clearly weren't the same. Saddam was a fairly handsome guy, and body double not so much. But yes, his wife was outraged. This is not my husband. You're spot on, Keith.
Well, here's another one for Jim. Here's another one for you. You look at Saddam, George Bush Sr. called him, that evil Hitler. Remember, this is Bush, whose dad, Prescott, was a money launderer for the Nazis. But anyway,
right.
Saddam stands out there with his so-called Iraqis there. They're all armed to the gill, you know. Why wasn't he taken out by his own people? Same thing with Gaddafi. Here's Gaddafi running around in Libya there, standing up in a car. At any time, he could have been shot by his so-called fellow citizens. You know, it's the same thing with Maduro's a narco kingpin sells machine guns. Well, what's the United States doing? Arms all over the world to keep all these wars and stuff going so they can do their so-called policing, using as justification to go into a certain country. And, of course, it's all over oil, LNG, gas, commerce.
I think so. I mean, you know, at the Pentagon, they were puzzled as to why Rumsfeld declared they weren't going to attack Afghanistan, which reportedly was involved because Osama bin Laden was a patsy. He actually was our man in Afghanistan. He was instrumental in getting Stinger missiles into the hands of the Mujahideen. They used to shoot down Soviet helicopters and planes and drive them out. He was an officer in the CIA, Colonel Tim Osmond. He was visited by an official at the agency at a hospital in Dubai shortly before his death from his medical maladies. It's tough to get dialysis machines in and out of those caves in Afghanistan. On 15 December 2001, and he was buried in an unmarked grave, where both CNN and Fox caught up with the news and reported on the 26th of December 2001. And yet, 10 years later, you got Barack Obama, you know, paving the way for his triumphal reelection by claiming he got Osama in a raid on a compound in Pakistan where the locals had never seen hide nor hair of Osama since, of course, he was 10 years dead. I mean, the ways in which they manipulate and seek to deceive us, Keith, are unbounded. They have such gall.
Yeah, it's like when that in 2010, when Obama came out, of course, remember, this is supposed to cost us how many SEAL team lives, too, you know, just like we just had recently over in the Red Sea. But anyway, when I looked at these photos and stuff like that, one, it was this older bin Laden sitting there with a remote in his hand watching TV. And there's a adding machine down there probably to count his CIA money. But anyway, the point was, is I looked that up and I said, oh, this is all wrong, because they had that UL power strip that was there, that was the standard UL strip. Pakistan uses 240 volts at 50 hertz. America uses 120 volts at 60 hertz. And they had all this stuff plugged into this. And I looked at those compound photos, the power lines over to the building and stuff. There was no step-down transformers and stuff, you know. None of that could have possibly taken. And I've been electronics. This coming March, I'll be 47 years as a ham operator. I build circuits and stuff, you know. None of this could have possibly taken place like that, especially for the load that one UL strip would have had to have on to power this alleged satellite TV there to be in tune. It's no different, Jim, than watching a CNN reporter with the whole U.S. military out looking for bin Laden, that a CNN reporter stumbles into bin Laden's camp, or this Vice News Network that has this unmitigated access to these drug lords and stuff, which the DEA and all those guys can't find, but Vice is able to walk into their camps. Does any of this make sense?
Yeah. So it's all fake. It's all, Hollywood came to Washington, and it has had a grip ever since. Political theater is boundless. I mean, look, we got a fake guy pretending to be president of the United States, and he's not being called out by the mainstream. I mean, it's just outrageous, Keith. This guy has a different shape and size of skull than Joe Biden. He has a different signature than Joe Biden. He has different colored eyes than Joe Biden. He interacts with Jill differently than Joe Biden. It ain't Joe Biden. I found, what, maybe four different body doubles for Biden, who appears to have died in 2017, and the mainstream isn't reporting a word of it.
Yeah. Well, again, you have to keep up the illusion like that. There was a video sent to me from one of my Iranian friends this morning. It shows one of these, like, masochist-type collar things that someone wears around their mouth, and it shows these indents on Joe Biden's face, suggesting heavily the pedophilia and all this stuff, the wild sexual exploits. I mean, this, it goes right back to the Epstein files and stuff. All this stuff should have been brought right out and stuff like that to show who's who. Remember the thing I sent you, which was, I believe, April, again, 2019, of the 1,160 CEOs that suddenly quit their jobs. And speaking of New York, where you were talking about with Trump and stuff, Gerald Celente has highlighted here for God knows what, 2 years now, since the COVID alleged pandemic, that how many people are shutting down their massive office spaces in New York City because people aren't driving to work. They're staying at home. Go ahead with your break. I'll be back.
Yeah, Keith, we'll be right back with Keith Rogers right after this break. Stand by.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, today I'm joined by Keith Rogers, himself a longtime radio show host. Keith is very insightful. You mentioned Gerald Celente. Yes, yes, yes. He is, of course, an expert on trends and predicts millions are going to be financially ruined in 2024. I think it's going to be worse than that, Keith. I think we're going to have food shortages. We're going to have the migrant crisis is going to become enormously more difficult. Crime is going to spread out from the urban centers to the suburbs. The police are going to be out to look after themselves. They're going to be overwhelmed with crime. And if Americans can't defend themselves, forget it. They're out of luck. Your thought?
Well, there's more going on here, too, because when you see, reference to Celente again, New York Post says that New York businesses have lost $1 trillion. Well, in reference to Gerald Celente, that's basically the entire credit card debt that Americans are facing right now, and people don't realize the amount of money $1 trillion is. And when you can drive that price down a little bit by saying that the military budget's only 800 and some odd billion, but still, that's a lot of money like that. Where's it all going? I was really speaking about immigrants again. I was thinking about that new video from Rachel Levine, where she's talking about blacks are the most susceptible to climate change. I don't know if you've seen that or not. And of course, they're blaming climate change on whites. You know,
well, they're actually, it's very peculiar because the Democrat agenda is to make out that blacks and whites and reds and yellows are all the same. And there's no difference even between the sexes, whether you're male or female. It makes no difference. You're all the same. And they want everyone to be treated the same, have the same income, have the same, you know, no distinctions, no private property, no merit. I think part of the attack on Trump is because he's accomplished so much, and there's tremendous envy and a desire to set an example that if you actually succeed in the system will destroy you, because it's really the imposition of a Marxist communist taking place right around us, Keith, right before our very eyes, and a massive influx of migrants is part and parcel. I think that the situation for the average American, and it may well come to pass this year, is going to be catastrophic, because we've reported on hundreds and hundreds of food processing plants having been deliberately taken out, millions upon millions of chicken, turkey, and the like being slaughtered, usually on the ground of an alleged contamination with a virus that may even not exist. I mean, it's just outrageous what's been happening. How do you see it unraveling or rolling out, Keith?
Well, it's, again, I have a conspiracy page up on my server there, but it basically says we start with the Fort Detrick leak in July of 2019, which the symptoms cause was identical to that of COVID. It sickened 10, killed two elderly like that, you know, and this is from Fort Detrick. They shut it down. They did some cleaning and stuff like that. And then, of course, right after that, we have this so-called release there. But in Africa, they had the swine flu epidemic, which was basically decimating China, because China had to kill over a million pigs and stuff, and so was relying on imports from Africa. And then suddenly Africa gets a swine flu. And then now we had the Sao Paulo, Brazil, which was JBS US, a U.S.-backed meat company down in Sao Paulo, Brazil, which suddenly increased its production 600% to China. Again, the U.S. always destroys other countries to increase its profits. And, of course, a lot of these operations are always done offshore because the taxes are lower and they got slave labor and stuff, you know. Tulsi Gabbard, when she was being interviewed by this is what caught me onto this there, because this came out of a Colorado-based meat plant of Tyson, where we have these Tyson foods here that are being shut down here also. And it was a lot of it was tracked back to JBS US, which under the Trump administration had received over three packages worth tens of millions of dollars each to get this meatpacking firm. Then we had all the videos, the scare videos of the mass graves down in Brazil of people dying of COVID. I remember one video showed them opening up these graves. They were totally empty, probably just like the mass graves over in New York on that island that they were, you know, all this fear stuff to get Americans to get this fake vaccine like that, you know. I mean, it, the amount of corruption like that, but back on this green stuff, remember Trump was trying to get out of the Paris Accords, all this stuff. There was a thing here from Jim Jordan where he issued a subpoena for documents and communications related to the efforts of the CARES and Climate Action 100+ to advance ESG policies. This is important, too, because J.P. Morgan, the largest bank in the world, had announced that they are abandoning the UN-backed climate group, Climate Action 100+, after the group became a target of increased antitrust scrutiny. Now, this goes right back to the Silicon Valley Bank down there in San Francisco, where it failed $30 billion. They weren't going to bail anyone out under the FDIC and stuff until they found out that all the major investments were all these green-backed energy things, and they bailed everyone out. But the amount of corruption in this country to force this green agenda where cars are blowing up that are electronic, the EV stuff like that. Now you see in the paper here that automakers are ditching the EV stuff. They're going back to gasoline power. It's not feasible. And then the fact is when you look at protecting the climate, well, the U.S. military is the number one a problem with the climate there. But when you see these EV vehicles burning up, how many toxins from this lithium ion batteries and stuff are being spewed into the atmosphere? It takes, 24,000 gallons worth of water to put one EV vehicle out. I mean, and now you listen to the World Economic Forum, they want to go after our water and stuff. What are they going to do, put meters on fire hydrants, too, to put out these electric vehicles?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the whole thing, sir, I mean, look, there is no climate change. This is all bullshit. I mean, it's all manufactured. Over 600 million years of Earth's history, there's been no correlation between the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere and the temperature of Earth. None. And lacking a correlation, there can be no causal relationship, even when there's a correlation, such as between smoking and lung cancer. Industries have denied it. Even when there's a perfect correlation as between vaccine and autism, the more vaccine, the more autism, the less vaccine, the less autism, they deny it. So when there's no correlation, I mean, there's no possible way. And in fact, it turns out CO2 has a cooling effect on Earth in 3 or 4 different dimensions. Plus, it's indispensable to the production of water and air. In other words, without CO2, there'd be no life on Earth. So this idea of seeking to, you know, reduce the amount of CO2 as though it were an urgent matter is a scientific absurdity, but a political illusion that's being used by the rich and powerful to decimate the economies of the nations they want to sabotage. And they seem to be doing a hell of a good job, but in various ways it's falling flat. It's so many EVs are on so many lots of so many automobile dealerships, they can't sell them. They're abandoning them. They're now Toyota, which never went that way, has succeeded like mad with hybrids. Hybrids are going to be the vehicles of the future, and hybrids are a good deal because you increase your mileage at relatively modest increase in expense, whereas for the EVs, you're having to pay a staggering amount. If you had to have a repair or replace a battery, it was like $25,000. They'll burst on fire if they're exposed to salt water. They can spontaneously combust. They have little traction. You know, an EV truck can't haul what a gas truck can't haul. It just can't do it. You have to stop and recharge, and it takes hours to recharge your battery. While you're sitting on your thumb, you're losing time. So they're too expensive, they're too impractical, they're a waste of time and money, and a hell of a lot of dealerships are suffering the consequences, Keith.
Yeah, right now I'm looking at this is how bad things are, Jim. I'm looking at a U.S. foreign aid since 1946. It's a automated graph type thing there. And it starts out with all these countries like United Kingdom and stuff receiving so many billions of dollars and stuff like that, you know. One thing that is noticeable about the thing is that at first nothing's on the map, but after 1947, suddenly Israel's on there. And it ends with Israel as the largest receiver of foreign aid from the United States. But as Israel goes up, all the other countries shrink down. This is where, again, I don't know if you want to call it treason or what like that, but to put the benefits of another country ahead of those of Americans, I don't see why you even elect politicians, because of the fact that we know where their allegiance lies. And it's pathetic. I'll tag this and I'll send it to you if you want, but it's pathetic there. And then, of course, like I say, with the amount of arms going over there, and of course there was just a video here from a guy that says anyone who flies the Palestinian flag is a target of Israel. Well, there's quite a few people around the world that are flying these, all through Malaysia, all this stuff, Indochina, you know, all through England and stuff. Now they're starting to criminalize the Palestinian flag and protest and stuff, you know. I was going to note there in this graph there, it's interesting to note that Israel has received more money in foreign aid than the entire U.S. Apollo space program.
Wow. Of course, that was a fraud, too. I mean, my God, are we being played again and again and again?
Well, you remember that song, Space Might Be the Final Frontier, but it's made in a Hollywood basement.
No, I don't think I knew that one. That's a good one.
Yeah, it's from if you get the video, it's called Californication. It's on YouTube there. But if you listen to it, talks about a little Swedish girl and stuff like that. This is a song back in the 90s. Well, you can attribute that to Greta. You know, it's like all these things were, I don't know if they were on acid or what like that. They did some really good tripping there, but they sure foretold the future, I'll tell you.
Yes. 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 Speaking of foretelling the future, we got a South Carolina primary coming up. I think it's the end of Nikki Haley's misguided attempt to, you know, undermine Trump. I mean, it's pretty obvious she was never a serious candidate, but wealthy Democrats, one in particular, put in a huge amount of money to keep her going until after New Hampshire, where she's completely falling apart. In fact, if you subtract 70% of Haley's votes in New Hampshire were from non-Republican voters, Trump won like by 60-30 or more. I mean, it was just an overwhelming victory. I think that anyone paying attention to the polls and knows what's going on realize she has no chance whatsoever. But we got this question then, is South Carolina Trump country or Haley country? They already have early voting underway, and it may be early voting replaces mail-in voting. You caught, and Keith, you've mentioned a couple of times in the show I did with Scott Bennett and with Chris Weinert on Sunday called Truth Versus News. It's a two-hour broadcast we do on Sundays. It's up on my BitChute channel, Jim Vetzer. I'll put it up on my Twitter today. But we were also reporting how these mail-in ballot studies have shown that had it not been for the massive surge, 43% of the ballots cast in 2020 were mail-in ballots, and 20%, if you can believe, one in five voters surveyed admitted they had done something in violation, some form of voter fraud. And if you take that into account, all six of the swing states that decided the election for Biden would have gone to Trump. And look what we have inherited as a consequence, Keith. This has been the worst administration in terms of destruction done to the United States in our history, bar none.
Yeah, Jim, I don't think, you know, if Trump gets in, if they don't try to off him off or something like that, you know, the amount of austerity that is going to have to be done to rebring this country back into its prosperity, and this is without wars, mind you, that there's going to be a lot of trade deals and stuff made between the Trump administration and foreign countries and stuff to keep the products flowing and stuff. There's going to have to be a lot of like these civilian conservation corp things to rebuild the infrastructure of America. I remember listening to my grandfather and my great uncle talking about how it was during the Great Depression, sitting on my grandpa's knee, listening to him, how they used to, hop a freight train and go clear over to Wenatchee and stuff and pick apples all winter long or summer long like that, then come back and harvest their garden stuff. And now they're going after gardens again, too, saying that private gardens emit more CO2 than corporate ones. I mean, people actually buy this stuff, but there's going to have to be a lot of deals and trade and stuff where America is going to have to become more flexible, not militarily, but in the realm of, well, I think the only way this is going to happen, though, is there has to be some reconstructuring of the banking system here. The banking is totally corrupt. It can no longer be the military arm of the United States government where they sanction 44 countries to push their foreign agenda. This bull crap of watching Nikki Haley and those sitting down beside members at the UN who make a vote against America where they do this threatening there. And then, of course, they get them to change their vote. Lindsey Graham and Nikki Haley are out there right now talking about how Russia needs to, or Putin needs to be brought up on war crimes again for this stupid idiot that died in prison there, you know. But again, where was Lindsey Graham and stuff when he was in the military over in Afghanistan with all these CIA rendition camps and stuff? Where was his concern about those Afghanis and stuff dying? And you'd mentioned Mujahideen earlier. Well, remember, Reagan is the one that was the one that formulated all this stuff with the Mujahideen. Brzezinski was the other one who bragged about the Mujahideen as the new Soviet warrior, bin Laden. You know, all these guys have been used against Americans. A lot of American boys have died fighting these damn wars and stuff, which were all based on lies. The Afghan opium, the $1 trillion in bare earth minerals over there. It's all about commerce and stuff and who controls it. That's the only thing. It's not about freedom. It's not about democracy. It's about corporate greed. That's all it is.
I think you're right, Keith, when it comes right down to it. I mean, we bombed Iraq rather than Afghanistan because Iraq has oil and Afghanistan basically doesn't, though we occupied Afghanistan because that's one of the world's largest deposits of lithium, which is required for electric car batteries as components in computers and triggers for nuclear weapons. I'm very worried about going nuclear in Ukraine, you know, because they're so desperate. The situation is so awful. Losing Ukraine is such a humiliation for NATO. Honest to God, Keith, I'm not going to be surprised if they do give Zelensky nukes and then it's all over, man, because Russia's explained once nukes enter the fray, they're going to unleash their full weaponry and destroy the West. And they have far better, far superior nuclear missiles. They got the Satan II with, 15 independently targetable warheads? A single Satan II could take out all of France? I mean, it's just insane. The Russians are so well-equipped and well-prepared, and we, frankly, are not.
Well, I say, John Kerry, video of him talking about how they did the UA coup. And again, this was under Obama. I mean, this stuff has all been planned years in advance and stuff, you know, just like when you listen to Brzezinski in 2008 over the grand chessboard, all about Ukraine. Newland, 2014, using $5 billion U.S. tax dollars to overthrow a democratically elected government there, you know, the Maidan coup, thousands shot and stuff like that. How many, 50-some-odd people burned alive in a building and stuff. They don't care about human life. They only care about power. And now with Ukraine and 500,000 dead, watching some idiot out there talking about he's in prosthetics and he couldn't wait to get to Ukraine to start building prosthetics. I mean, it's all monetary initiatives like that, building a fake arms and stuff for people who've had their legs and stuff blown off, you know. Zelensky meeting with someone who's lost their legs. It's so touching like that, you know. Again, they've got Slavs killing Slavs, the ultimate agenda. Just, Orthodox Christians killing Orthodox Christians.
Just to add a very disturbing note, I have a colleague by the name of Mike Sparks, who in the past has advised the military on the type of weapons they should use in various terrains. And he explained on the eve of the Iraq incursion that they needed to use tracked vehicles because improvised explosive devices would be so effective against wheeled vehicles that many, many soldiers would lose their limbs. And he was overridden by a general who wanted to develop prosthetics and therefore wanted a whole bunch of our military to come back missing arms and legs so they could be the subject of robotic development. I mean, that is grotesque.
Yeah,
that's what we're up against, Keith.
Well, it's like, you know, a lot of people, they don't read the news and stuff. I do a lot of reading. I don't do a lot of commenting and stuff. It's like always on Google, it says, or YouTube says, sign in to like and subscribe and share and stuff like that. Well, if I ever put a comment there, it's always deleted anyway. So why do it, you know? The Independent came out with an article.
30 minutes, I'll call you.
The Independent came out with an article that says incest and necrophilia should be legal, according to the youth branch of Swedish Liberal People's Party. Yeah, necrophilia. You know what that is, right?
Yeah, having sex with dead people.
these guys have totally lost their mind, Jim. And this is the world that they're building for others. I also sent you the video of another MQ-9 Reaper being shot down over there in Yemen. But how many millions of dollars do those MQ-9 Reapers cost? And that's right. That's right. The American taxpayers will pick it up like that, you know.
Yeah, by the advantage of the Houthis, who are proving to be glorious warriors. I'm so impressed with the Houthis as they use little drones that take out very expensive ships and planes and all that. I'm very, very impressed with the Houthis. And the U.S. has no business intervening. The Houthis, Yemen declared war on Israel. They explained they were only going to interdict or intercept ships that had cargo destined for Israel. So what's the United States and the UK got to do with attacking Yemen, using the same kinds of planes, same kinds of bombs that they were at war with Saudi Arabia for 8 years before coming to a peace deal? Now the Saudis are very worried it's going to be in jeopardy because the Houthis could easily destroy their oil refineries. I think that may yet happen, Keith, because the Houthis have been acting in accordance with international law, but the U.S. and the U.K. have not. They're violating Yemen's sovereignty. They're claiming they're interfering with international shipping, but since it's only cargo destined for a nation with which they are at war, they are entitled to do it. So we're being gaslit again by our own government, our own State Department, our own Department of Defense, to justify utterly illegal actions on the part of the United States. Let me mention, just before we hit the break, I want to encourage callers. There's been a period here after losing Mitchell as my, you know, producer that I haven't been quite clear how to do it. The number to call in, 608-957-8727, 608-957-8727. I'll have you on hold until I bring you in. Just stand by, just listen to the show, and I'll bring you in as we have in the past. It's simply that I will be doing this, not Mitch, who is, so far as I can tell, thriving, alive and well, and I am so grateful to him for all the wonderful years of service he provided to me and to Revolution Radio and its fans. We'll be right back with Keith Rogers.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Keith Rogers and I await your calls. The number is 608-957-8727. I repeat, 608-957-8727. I especially welcome first-time callers. Give it a shot. Meanwhile, we do have a caller from area code 816. Unless I miss my bet, this is Brian from Kansas City. Brian, join the conversation.
Yes, and, you know, when you talk about them deleting all your stuff, it just drives me nuts because I get the same stuff. You know, I talked to Mitchell, was on two of his shows and talked for the whole 2 hours for one show, 2 hours for the other one, and Mitchell said, I can never have you back on because I was attacked like you can't believe. And then I did that show with you and Greg Hallett and explained a lot of stuff. And they went and cut out everything I talked about. So it changes the meanings of things. So when you go back and you listen, you get different meanings from what the original was. And what's really driving me nuts now is they interfere with my email. Okay, I cannot get on any chat like on Louisa Goldfish Report. It won't allow me, okay? So her, I wanted to talk to. I really desperately wanted to talk to Sophia Smallstorm because I've got information for her, but I can't get by their blocks. If you could tell Sophia Smallstorm that I'd love to tell her, I could fill her in on some stuff, and she would really find it fascinating. But, you know, I don't have her number. I don't know if you can text her and give her my number and see if she calls me, but that would be helpful. The other thing is, you know, I've been following this Ukraine thing with Zaluzhny, how his Praetorian Guard was sent to that small town just west of Avdiivka, and they hit him with a bunch of hypersonic or whatever Iskander missiles and knocked out his Praetorian Guard, or a big part of it. And so the Ukrainians put that, what was left of that unit, into Avdiivka, and, you know, right at the end there. And the commander said, no, we're not doing this. He just, without orders, retreated and said, you know, he wasn't going to do it. He could just see it was going to be a slaughter, which was what was their intent. And I saw today that Zelensky wanted the commanders of that Azov battalion, that third assault brigade, arrested. So that's one way to really get rid of Zaluzhny. That's his Praetorian Guard, his protector as well. They called him the missiles on him, and now what's left of it, they're to be put under arrest. So anyway, I find that all interesting.
Have you seen the videos, Brian?
Say again?
Have you seen the retreat videos yet?
Oh, yeah. I've watched them. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they're mad. They lost big on this. And now they even come out here and says, losing that doesn't mean that the war is over. It's actually a benefit. We're moving forward.
Well, and what's funny is, unlike Bakhmut, you know, they came out and they said, Sirsky said, oh, I gave the order to retreat. And then Zelensky says, oh, we're retreating, we're saving lives. Well, what actually happened is all of those units broke without orders. The day before they issued the order to retreat, they'd already just dropped their weapons and ran for their lives. And so to kind of save face, or, you know, save yes. control of their army, they said, oh, we better put out an order that we told them to retreat, that it was just a rout. And you could even see it in those retreat videos, the spacing. You know, they're just so unprofessional. The one thing you're taught in the military is you keep a spacing. You don't group up, and you're watching them, and suddenly here they are, they're all bunched together. Well, the drone operators and the artillery spotters, they love to see that because they can kill more than one bird with one stone. So, you know,
well,
it's interesting to watch.
Yeah, there's a dissension in the ranks over there, because you can see it where the Ukraine soldiers are actually shooting each other now. That, you know, there's the late, it looks just like Paul Potts over the Khmer Rouge, you know, where, you know, someone is being set down on their knees. They just walk up behind them, either shoot them in the head or shoot them in the heart, something like that. You know, these are Ukrainians killing Ukrainians.
I know. And well, they have barrier squads, you know, that prevent the retreat. And a lot of those barrier squads, there's foreign mercs. I saw a video where they had the barrier squad up, and here's this American, you know, he's got his little flag on his helmet, and he's telling them, no, you know, you stop. You can't come this way, because they were getting out of it. And they just shot them both dead, you know, the Ukrainians. So, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, there's a lot of videos of a lot of the dead Americans laying over there on those fields, I'll tell you.
Yeah, exactly. And they're not going to let us know.
Yeah, even cartel members in ISIS and stuff are over there fighting on behalf of Ukraine. It's like, why would the drug cartels go over to Ukraine? Well, there's big money in it, you know?
Yeah.
By the way, I know that we're all really pressed for stuff like that, but did you happen to catch the news that there's an asteroid the size of 8 Taylor Swifts to pass by Earth tomorrow?
No, I missed that one.
It's in all the headlines. This one's from Jerusalem Post. Like, who in the hell cares?
Well, and with our big shooting here for our Super Bowl parade, did you notice that the first shot that was on the Washington Post of the three people running away from the shooting, everyone behind him was oblivious to it. A guy sitting there in his lawn chair, like nothing's going on. Everybody else is just normal. And all three of them had Mahomes jerseys on, which is 15. 1 + 5 = 6. So you had 666 running away from the shooting.
Yeah, well,
so it kind of tells you what's going on.
I don't pay attention to any shootings like that. Your country right now, I would say your. Jim likes to say we, like when we bombed Iraq. I didn't bomb anyone. But anyway, when you watch your country supplying 2,000-pound bombs to bomb civilians over in Gaza, what is a stupid little shooting here compared to the deaths of over 100 people a day at the behest of U.S. arms for a foreign government? These are all designed, like I say, they're bringing all the immigrants in.
They're trying to cause a civil war. The CIA said this over 2 years ago. There's going to be a civil war in America. You know, how did they know this? Well, they're setting it all up like that. And the first thing they want to do is disarm Americans. So they got you the fear of phobia. Well, we need to get rid of everyone's guns like that so we won't have no more shootings. I don't know if you've read any stories about the NKVD or the Czech and stuff like that, but they had guns. And that's who's controlling our law enforcement today.
Oh, I've cited Czechists repeatedly. Millions of Russians were shot to death by the after the Bolshevik Revolution, who were, you know, just not sufficiently enthusiastic about what had happened. And they just lined them up, stripped them of their clothing, shot them in the back of the head, put them on a conveyor belt for a cemetery. I mean, outrageous. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, the whole effort they've gone to label the January 6th protesters as domestic terrorists would be used to round up conservatives, Trump supporters, MAGA members, and all that for a similar disposition if they were in the position of declaring martial law, because they're domestic terrorists. And as terrorists, they have no right to a trial by a jury and are subject to summary execution.
Right.
Absolutely.
Here's a report that's coincident with what I was mentioning earlier, nuclear threat. Well, the way it's posing it, I think, is wrong. It says Russia will drop entire arsenal on London, Washington, if it doesn't win Ukraine war. It's already won the Ukraine war. Top Putin ally warns Westhoff striving for a Ukrainian victory, warning that would lead to nuclear strikes on Kiev, Berlin, London, Washington, as well as an apocalyptic civil war in Russia with tens of millions dead. This is the deputy chair of the Russian Security Council, Dmitry Medvedev, who is also formerly prime minister and president of Russia, has threatened Western capitals with the entire strategic arsenal of Russian nuclear weapons. Medvedev, for whom absolutely no slight is too small to necessitate a nuclear response, I think that's false. I think that's just bullshit. But speaking of Ukraine's hope to retake its U.S.-recognized national territory, UN-recognized national territory nonsense, which in some cases have been occupied by Russia for close to 10 years. Remember the Putin address. He went back to explain the whole complicated history of Ukraine and how Ukraine is an artificial state. So here you have Breitbart publishing what I regard as unqualified bullshit, the time that Russia would use nukes as if it were attacked by nukes. So they're reversing the whole situation politically. I find that quite disgusting, because we're talking about the potential extinction of life on planet Earth, Keith.
Well, they don't care. That's their ultimate goal, depopulation. You know, it wouldn't be so bad, except that, you know, I've sent a link this morning on Twitter there, or X, call what you want there, about all that Steve Kirsch is trying to do like that, you know, highlighting all the major deaths and stuff down in New Zealand and Australia and stuff like that. The problem is, though, is it's his tribe that's behind it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, so the deaths in Gaza don't mean nothing. 17 million. It's the videos right out there on Twitter. There are 17 million have died from these so-called fake vaccines. Yeah, the Gaza genocide might be something. The Ukraine genocide. What about the vaccine? And it's all ran by the same tribe.
Yes. Yes. Brian.
Well, I agree. I could talk about so many different things. I wouldn't know where to start.
I got one for you, Brian. Yeah, a few years back, a good friend of mine, ham operator, we were sitting here in the morning there. Most hams talk about their aging prostate issues or something like that, you know, hi. But anyway, generally we have a round table in the morning. Most of the hams talk about the weather, like it's 38 in Helena. And of course, it's only 33 here, whatever like that, you know. But anyway, generally, this discussion goes like, oh, we're going down today to get our flu vaccine like that. Then for the next 8 months, you got to hear about all the massive shingles and stuff like that each one of them got, oddly, just after the vaccines like that, you know. But anyway, one day a friend of mine up north here in Kalispell, no, sorry, in Cutbank, was talking to me, and he gave a pretty good ream about them damn Zionists, he said. And one of these evangelicals down over here in Lincoln, Montana, home of the Unabomber, old Uncle Ted, you know. But anyway, jumped in there and just started just ragging on him about, you know, because his loyalty to Israel and stuff like that, you know. And my friend up there in Cutbank says, look, he says, you dumb SOB. He says, I'm Jewish. I'm telling you, these guys are going to cause an extinction of the Jews if they're not stopped. And that the band went quiet. But that's how bad it is. We have these Zionists around the world that are controlling everything. You see photos over in England of a Jewish woman that says, I'm Jewish. I have the right to return even though I wasn't born in Israel. And the right next to her is a Palestinian woman that says, I'm Palestinian. I have no right to return.
That's
it's
right.
It's systematic racism.
Yes. Yes, 100%, no doubt about it, absolutely. It's like we got anti-white racism right now, right here in the United States. I mean,
sure.
Give me a break. Discrimination is discrimination, whether it's against blacks, as historically we've sought to deal with, or against whites. Or there seem to be a lot of blacks who are okay with that, though I don't think they're in the majority. From what I've been able to ascertain, black families are just very conventional, believe in American values are a whole lot like those in South Pasadena. When I was growing up as a kid in the 50s, most black families, I think, have very traditional American values.
They were. Look at rap music and stuff, what it has done to debase the black people. The constant N-words, F the police, all this stuff like that. All it's done is degrade them. And, of course, who's behind the music industry?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was Bronson, or however you say that name,
B-R-O-N-F-M-A-N. Bronfman, yeah.
Yeah, they bought it out. Before they bought it, we had things like the Supremes, and you remember
yes.
all that Motown
yes.
sound that we all loved. Well, we didn't get rap and all the crap until after they bought it. And,
that's right.
Of course, they were going to Denver and meeting Bush Sr. and all those other Satanists and doing their June 21st Satan ritual that they would do every year, where they get some poor unsuspecting child and kidnap him and use him for that satanic ritual. And that was discovered by the husband of a woman whose father was one of those people. And so he really blew the whistle on it.
Yeah.
That,
well, it's like, you know,
yeah.
Yeah. Aretha Franklin, she liked something like that. This is when music had soul. It told a story of the black people, their struggles and stuff like that, you know. It wasn't caused by me and stuff, you know. I wasn't in power. I grew up with that thing about I was never asked to be born. Black people were never asked to be born. Chinese people were never asked to be born. Russians, Jewish, whatever. None of us were asked to be born. We have to assimilate into the culture like that, and the culture is being manipulated.
Yes.
I get tired of people demonizing a certain people, whether they're Hispanics, Latino, call them what you want, like that, you know, white Americans, black Americans. Like, this is all being used against us. This is how they're going to ferment this civil war. They want us to pick sides, Republican, Democrat, stuff like that. You know, Jimmy Dore had a damn good three-part series where he interviewed the all these different groups, BLM, Antifa, and these what's that other stupid one? Anyway, they all had the same goals. Every one of them had the same goals. And then he tried to get an interview with this guy from the National Socialist newspaper to come on that had written a very good article like that, but they wouldn't let him on, so they sent his editor instead. And the minute the editor came out and said exactly the same thing that the other three groups, Proud Boys, BLM, Antifa, Proud Boys, that's the same thing that his quest was. And Jimmy Dore pointed out that's the same thing as other groups want. The guy starts screaming, Nazi, Nazi.
Well, remember, I think the riots here in Kansas City, BLM and Antifa were were bussed in by the same bus.
Yeah.
Because Soros, you know, paid for the bus and he wanted to save money. And then they had pallets of bricks pre-set at predetermined locations for throwing bricks during the riots. And I mean, yeah, they're sophisticated with it. But,
yeah, well, like I say, yeah. go watch that Amazing Roads, Peru. Amazing Roads, Peru. Here's the plight of your immigrants being led up here by your coyotes and stuff. Where are these poor, poor immigrants getting their money to pay these coyotes to bring them up to Juarez, Texas and stuff like that? You know, where are these poor, poor Africans that are over there tipping over in boats? Who's supplying the boats that are wearing these orange life jackets? Where are the orange life jackets coming from? You know, where's all this money coming from to move yeah. these people around like that? They want civil unrest.
Well,
I was going to say one more thing.
Coming right from the U.S., you know, I mean, our money is being recycled by DHS and the UN both bring up these massive numbers to our border.
Well, like that app that the DHS has, where they all you have to do is text it on this app like that. They meet you at the border, take you to dental and doctors and stuff like that. That's better treatment than U.S. veterans get.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
But they want
Americans
a civil war.
Americans aren't anywhere near the treatment that these illegals are getting, and it's all outrageous beyond words.
Well, I remember CNN ran the article that 307,000 veterans died waiting for health care. What is your VA centers doing today? Well, because of Roe versus Wade and those states that won't perform abortions, the VA centers now are being opened up to perform abortions. It's depopulation, period.
Yes. Yes.
You learn more reading, which is what they don't want. They want you stuck on Fox, CNN, MSNBC, and stuff like that. They want you sitting there just, biting your teeth, you know, like that, you know, listening to what the current thing is. Haven't you noticed that all these stupid people that have lost their shows are being brought back on the networks again?
Knowledge or consent to visit websites that contain identity.
I hit the wrong button.
To unlock the computer,
my wife told me that once.
Please do not attempt to shut
this
down.
This is ridiculous. Keep going, you guys. Keep going. Right. I was trying to get to a story about Nikki Haley being upset because she got bad numbers now.
You know, one thing I'm sick of is
this is
all
unreal.
Close the tab.
How ridiculous.
Close the tab, Jim.
Please call support immediately. Please do
you guys, I got to thank you. It's wonderful to have you on. Let me just add for everyone out there, spend as much time with your family, your friends, and people you love and care about, because we do not know how much time we have left. And beware of what you put on your computer. Just stunning stuff.
Can you tell Sophia Smallstorm to call me?
Immediately. Please do not attempt to shut down or restart your computer.
This is just absolutely outrageous.
The computer lock is locked.
Did you just get a virus, Jim?
Yeah. Well, it's something.
You know how to get rid of it?
Just write on a regular ad. I'll tell you.
Yeah.
You're hearing this, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. That's
yeah.
Sounds like
I get them too.
You guys.
Yeah. You can get rid of it yourself.
All right.
I'm going to knock it off.
All right. Sounds good, Jim.
Sorry about that. You guys were terrific.
And Sophia called me.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Call our support immediately. Important security message.
Important security message.
Your computer has been locked
your
up.
Your computer has been locked
your
up.
Your IP address was used
your
without
IP address
your
was used
without visit
your knowledge
website
or consent
that contains identity
that contains
virus.
Identity theft virus.
To unlock the computer,
please
call support immediately.
Please do not attempt to shut
please
down.
Do not
Jim,
I had that and I called and they wanted my bank account number.
The computer lock is aimed to stop the legal activity.
To stop illegal activity.
I don't know if you can hear me.
Call support immediately.
Important security.
Well, let me just add in a minute or two that remains, beware. I mean, I was seeking to bring you an updated story about Nikki Haley's poll numbers being so terrible, and it's compromised a page of my computer. I'm assuming I'm not going to hit it every damn time I go online. It looks like it's only some of my pages, but it's just outrageous what's happened here. So I just say, be warned, beware. I just hit a button that said continue, thinking it was going to continue with the story so I could bring you the actual numbers that Nikki Haley is being provided with now that showed she made a big mistake. She didn't drop out after New Hampshire. So, you know, I think the story is accurate. The problem was this routine they've got built in that telling you you got a virus when you don't. It's all bullshit. And they're telling you don't even shut off your computer. When what else are you supposed to do? Obviously, you want to, you know, you start your computer. All it takes. Okay, meanwhile, spend as much time as you can with your family, your friend, the people you love and care about. We do not know how much time we have left. And so, we call and I'll give it up to number. See you on Wednesday.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Industrial Complex podcast here on Revolution Radio, Studio B, every Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Get fit, empowered, physically, mentally, and spiritually.
My name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion.